FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is January 4th, 2016. Well, we're starting to see perhaps the effects of that mini 25 basis points rate hike on the stock market. What are they going to do next? How's that going to affect your other investments? What about real estate? Well, whenever we think about real estate, we think about you, Jason Hartman, since you are a master and you're having an event in 5 days. You're going to have a lot of masters on hand to answer those questions. So I suggest if you're at all interested in getting the last couple of seats at Jason's annual Meet the Masters event, go over to jasonhartman.com/Lutz. That's jasonhartman.com/LUTZ. So Jason, I know we're taking you away from preparation and other stuff, and I know how much work you put into these events. So I appreciate your taking time out. But I think in light of what's happened in the stock market, what's going on around the world, China, probably was a good idea to touch base with you and get your latest impressions on things.
Yeah. Thanks, Kerry. And happy new year to you and your listeners. You know, there's a really interesting video. I'm going to play the audio of it on my podcast, The Creating Wealth Show. And it's with Carl Icahn, and he talks about the dangers ahead. Carl Icahn, you all know, is the famous corporate raider. And, he's purchased and run a lot of companies. And he is talking about the upcoming high yield bond crisis and how the defaults are just imminent. And the stock market valuations cannot hold, you know, when you get to multiples of 30, you know, things just get ridiculous. I mean, they're getting really ridiculous and frothy. And maybe today is, we're seeing kind of a preamble to this. I don't know. It's so hard to predict. You know, I don't believe in Wall Street. I think it's the modern version of organized crime. And that's, I stopped trying to predict it because tomorrow it'll be up, next day it'll be down. I don't know how anybody can live like that. I just like stable income properties that produce cash flow every month and have, nice, moderate, real appreciation over time. I think that with the Fed rate hike, we're seeing a lot of action now, a lot of people getting into the real estate market. People are motivated more by the fear of loss than the desire for gain. And so when there's pressure to see upward rates, now, of course, the Fed does not directly control mortgage rates, but, you know, ultimately that's where it trickles to. And when we see this happen, we see people make decisions because they make decisions out of fear. And they think, gosh, you know, those rates have been so low so long. I want to get more of that, or I want to get some of it if I don't have any. And that mortgage really becomes a huge asset for you. It's just as much an asset really as the property is. And so we're seeing that now, a lot of people making decisions to buy properties. But at the same token, I think this bodes poorly for the high-flying bubble markets, the markets in California, South Florida, the northeastern areas that are expensive. Any of those markets I view as risky because they've appreciated quite a bit, and I would be very cautious about them.
Yeah, so you're thinking that markets are perhaps getting a little frothy in places then, huh?
The cyclical markets are. The linear markets that we recommend, markets in Texas, in Tennessee, in Georgia, you know, in some areas of Florida that are more moderately priced, where you're buying basically for the commodity value, the value of the construction materials, those markets are pretty safe. But, you know, if you're going to be buying in a market like where I live in La Jolla, California, for example, San Diego area, these markets are in a precarious position. I mean, they could go a little longer for sure. I've seen many of these cycles now. I've been in the business for decades. Yellow light. This is a yellow flag warning. Yeah. So be very careful in high-end real estate markets and the stock market for sure. But on the good side of this, if you're in the good linear markets, I mean, Forbes.com is out with an article just recently about the incredible number of renters, how the rental market is exploding. I mean, this is, I would venture to say, Carrie, that if you are an investor who rents property to other people, it's very possible you are a landlord at the best time in all of human history. Well, I mean, that is completely possible with the millennial generation, Generation Y.
Yeah.
I mean, this cohort of renters is huge. It's 80 million people. It's slightly bigger than the baby boomers, who changed everything, by the way. And they are putting off marriage. They are saddled with student loan debt. They are wanting to be mobile, because the best thing they can have on a resume for a job or an entrepreneurial opportunity is mobility. And they're not really that into the ownership society. You know, they came of age during the era of the sharing economy, of Airbnb and Uber and Lyft and things like this. So that whole concept of home ownership to them just isn't, I mean, it's still there, admittedly, but it's not like it was for their parents. It's not like it was for us.
Yeah, well, what you say is 100% true. I don't know if they're into the sharing economy or the rental economy. But basically, they don't care about cars as much. Many of them don't have cars, which has led to a different living pattern for them.
Yep.
They are living in places like older cities, blue-collar cities. Buffalo, New York is an example, moving back there where there's mass transit.
Now, that one surprises me, admittedly, but go ahead.
Yeah, really, Buffalo is in a major boom.
I used to live in Rochester, and I've been to Buffalo.
Well, I don't have to tell you anything, but it's really going through a renaissance. Like, it's, the city's been going down the tubes since the First World War. Arguably, it hit its highest in population peak in the 50s. But basically, it was, with the last person out, please turn out the lights. Mm-hmm. Last person who leaves. Now, population's up, immigration, legal and otherwise, a lot of factors bringing it up. Plus, the state of New York saw fit to dump $1 billion there, for better or for worse. We both have our feelings about free markets, but all of these things combined, and I guess people like that bitter cold lake effect snow that you just can't get enough of when you're there.
Not me, but okay.
me neither. But but seriously, that's just one example. But millennials, don't have cars as much as your generation and mine
did. It's a different deal. And, and Carrie, let me talk to you about another thing. And I think you saw this video of me driving my new Tesla. Have you seen those videos?
I don't think I saw that one.
Facebook page. It's there. And on my YouTube channel. And this is a big one, folks. And this is an interesting trend. And I think it's a game changer. Think about it. From the beginning of time, the three cardinal rules of real estate have been unchanged. They have been location, location, and location. Those have been the three cardinal rules. You know, back in the days when we were living in caves, if your cave had a better location to protect yourself from predators or closer to food supplies or closer to water, then you were better off than your neighbors if you had the better located cave. And the same is true today and has been true since then. Location, location, location. But I just recently purchased a new Tesla, and cars are a terrible depreciating asset. $110,000
Not an asset,
definitely. But the thing that got me to do it was not because I'm some self-righteous environmentalist, because I don't think the Tesla is an environmental car.
No.
So if you're buying one for that reason or thinking about it, you're probably not doing any favors for the environment. But the reason I bought it was because of the self-driving technology. This is the most advanced self-driving car widely available yet. Okay. Mm. And they call it autopilot. It doesn't self-drive completely, but it almost does. You know, I over the holidays, I drove to Phoenix and back, or I should say the car drove me. Okay. And I want your listeners to really comprehend the magnitude of this innovation. You know, we're moving toward a world of autonomous vehicles where this is a complete game changer. You know, the suburbs have been popular in America since World War II, since Levittown. You know, this concept of suburban sprawl. overall has been with us for a long time. And in recent years, we've seen it move back where there's been a resurgence of interest in this inner core, the urban core of various cities where they've, you know, remodeled or built new high rises and there's been new development. But those are all very expensive properties, very expensive to live in and construct those types of properties. And I think, you know, the autonomous vehicle, and we are getting close, we're right around the corner from this, is going to change everything. It's going to lead to a resurgence of the suburbs. In fact, it's going to lead to a resurgence of outlying areas in general. Because think about this. For example, I live in La Jolla, California, and before this, I lived in Phoenix for 4 years. Now, Phoenix is a lot less expensive than La Jolla, right? Yeah. And, you know, if you work a regular Monday through Friday job and you live in Phoenix for much less money than you can live in San Diego, what if on Friday night you could get in your car and go to sleep at midnight and wake up at 7 a.m. in San Diego or Newport Beach or Malibu, refreshed and feeling great in your self-driving car or self-driving motorhome?
Mm-hmm.
It's a game changer. Long as the cost of energy stays low to where you can, you know, propel that vehicle, this changes the whole meaning and concept of location, the whole meaning and concept of commute. If this downtime can be reused to do productive things, such as working or sleeping or yoga or playing with your dog or whatever in the car, I mean, this is a game changer. It has huge implications in the world of real estate, in the world of commodities. Do we really need to build any new highways if the self-driving car gives us, listen to this, 6 times the packing density of those cars on the road? You can go 90 miles an hour, a couple feet off each other's bumper if your cars are all networked together in self-driving. Certainly I don't like the governmental implications of this and, you know, the NSA controlling our cars and monitoring them. That's just going to happen, unfortunately. But there are a lot of benefits, massive amount of fuel savings, no need for new roads, a lot less traffic. It's an amazing time to be alive, as I always say.
Oh, yeah. Right now, it's an amazing time. And yeah, the energy consumption of a self-driving vehicle is
dramatically lower.
It's not going to need all the weight. A lot of the safety equipment that's in the cars now, after the entire world converts, you're not going to have it. They have the ability to clump. So you'll go with 10 other cars. And like you said, the gap between the cars in front of you will be minuscule. And the other thing is, private ownership of vehicles probably is going to start to diminish because right now I know my car, if I drive it an hour a day, it's a lot, which means basically 23 hours a day, my car is useless. Yep. All right. With these, you'll get the car for the hour. You know, it'll take you where you need to go, drop you off, and then go on its merry way. And
absolutely. And pick up somewhere else. So let me share with you a couple of specifics on that. And I got some of this stuff from Peter Diamandis the fuel savings aspect. Okay. Listen to this. Today, a 4,000 pound SUV spends less than 4% of its energy moving a 150 pound driver around. Okay. So 96% of the energy is basically used to move the 4,000 pound vehicle, not the driver. Okay. Imagine if a car could be significantly lighter because they don't crash, getting 4 times the miles per gallon. Okay. Now here's the other one. Let's talk about the aspect that you didn't touch on yet, but this concept of real estate just used for parking alone.
Oh my
Listen
goodness.
To this. Yeah. In his book, Aaron Ben Joseph notes, in some U.S. cities, parking lots cover more than 1/3 of the land area. But what if you never need to park your car? What if it just drops you off and goes on to do something else useful? No need for parking garages, parking lots, driveways. Everybody's garage can become a room now, right? Yeah. In their house, right? Plus, one MIT study found that 40% of total gasoline use in cars in urban areas is spent while drivers look for parking.
That's
insane.
That's really insane. But but not surprising because, yeah, you just can put them out in a field somewhere, probably stack them, probably with ramps. They'll be able to figure
they'll
out
stack
how to get
themselves.
Out. Yeah, they'll stack up themselves. Yeah.
But the idea is they'll just be in use all the time. I mean, the car, you know, you, like you said, you drive your car an hour a day, right? Some days I don't even drive my car. Maybe. I live in a walking-based community here in La Jolla. And, you know, a lot of times I'm not driving it at all for 3-4 days at a time sometimes.
I know.
So the typical car is only used 5% of the time. Mm-hmm. If you could put that asset, the other 95% to work where it was a non-ownership type issue, where people could just, where the cars would just always be in use the way a commercial airliner is always in use.
Exactly.
You know, the airlines know that when that plane is not in the air, it's losing money. You've got to make it work.
Well, so, you can.
And investors know that you've got to make your money work all the time. You can't leave it sitting either. So the same applies there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a brave new world ahead there. And everything's going to change. Just think of the population of drivers in the world who are really going to, a lot of them will become redundant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe that's not such a bad thing because it will drive the cost of everything down because so many things you look at, labor is a huge component of the total cost. So yeah, there will be displacements and maybe a lot of people will never work again. I'm not sure about that, but I do know that this is where it's heading and that there's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Now we are heading there, but think about it in terms of your real estate portfolio. Let me tie that message back together. For those of you who listening who own expensive real estate in areas that you've paid a lot for land value, okay, you know, San Diego, for example, Miami, the northeastern areas, Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., virtually all of the Socialist Republic of California. These types of properties, I say there is a big move in relative terms of downward pressure on these types of properties, okay? So be careful. You know, we recommend people buy really prudent properties where they're not paying for land, they're paying for building materials. They're buying them at or below the cost of construction. They're not investing in land. They're investing in the commodities that build that house. And these properties will typically rent for, you know, 1% per month. Okay, so you buy a $100,000 property in Memphis or Atlanta or Houston or Indianapolis, that'll rent for $1,000 per month. That's what we do. Similarly, if you buy a $500,000 property in San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Miami, Boston, Washington, D.C., New York, whatever, you know, that $500,000 property is only going to rent for about $2,000 per month. Okay, yeah. It just doesn't work. And you're at a big risk because you paid a lot for a location premium. And these types of properties are going to suffer when the barrier to transit is removed, and it is being removed. I mean, it was the test. When my car drove me to Phoenix and back, I couldn't believe it. It was I've done that drive a zillion times, and it was so easy. You know, my back didn't hurt. I drove with no hands and no feet most of the way. You know, the car just drove me. It's amazing.
Adaptive cruise control, and it was, did it change
and
lanes
steering.
Too?
No, it steers, it changes lanes. It's incredible. And yeah. Elon Musk believes that the Teslas now, the Tesla Model S, like I have, that hardware kit on that car, he believes that can be a completely autonomous vehicle with nothing more than a software update. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. He's got to think of something to save that company because right now their model isn't quite, it's a little too far ahead of the market.
Well, it's a bunch of tax subsidized, you know, crap, which I don't agree with. But I figured if Tesla loses $4,000 on every car and due to government subsidies, I'll be glad to buy one and get a little tax subsidy myself.
I don't blame you.
I've paid into the system for a long time.
Yeah, well, hey, I get Social Security in a year and a half. So it's because of a little loophole that I won't go into, but I get it at 60. So I'm going to get money before anyone else. And I'm not going to leave any for you, Jason. So you might as well get it now.
There you go. I don't even have a library card.
Well, that's good because who goes to the library anyway, other than homeless people looking for a place to
use the internet and sleep?
Right?
Yeah. Oh, I know it's terrible.
but seriously, that's a game changer. I told you starting a show on stem cell therapy. That is a humongous game changer.
Amazing, yeah.
Because things like getting getting your knees replaced and your hips and rotator cuff surgery and back surgery and neck surgery, potentially, I'm not saying it's there yet, but they make progress every day. Potentially, it's going to obviate the need for that. That's hundreds of billions of dollars worth of unnecessary surgery, or what will prove to be unnecessary surgery in the not too distant future. This is right around the corner. And I mean, as Trump would say, it's going to be huge. So
it really is.
It's remarkable. So
there's a lot of implications for all this stuff when it comes to investing, right?
Yeah.
You can try investing in some biotech company that may or may not fail. but if it doesn't, there'll be a zillion middlemen along the way who'll be skimming all the profits off the top. Or you can be a direct investor and have direct ownership of income producing real estate. And that's my favorite thing.
Hey, I'm with you. I've seen it over the crash. There's really nothing you could invest in that was going to give you the returns. Yeah, the stock market for a while did better, but not for the past year. And really, at least you got something there. And the demographic trends, the fact that many of you out there are not going to buy a house if you're less than 40, under 40, have no desire to and no plans to, means that we're becoming a nation of renters. Home ownership ratio is down to like levels not seen in the 60s, like low 60s, but not seen since the 1960s. So real estate, but prudent purchases, always look to buy low so that your risk is minimized and that you have the income there, you know, that it's in the right area that you can attract quality tenants. And like you always say, you taught me this one, is landlord friendly jurisdictions.
Yeah. That are friendly to your cause. If you get a bad tenant, you want to be able to get rid of that tenant and take care of business. So absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Point. So all those factors. And if you're in the outskirts of an area, all of a sudden, don't be surprised when self-driving cars become preeminent, that property goes up in value because, hey, who needs to be downtown in the real go-go area when, you know, you can just be driven home in style and not worry about it because the traffic jams will be so much less.
It's going to be a terrible, I think we're going to see increased alcohol consumption.
Yeah, but less driving while drunk. But
it's not all going to be good, but yeah.
Retrofit.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And really consider this stuff as it applies to your investing, your real estate portfolio, and so forth. And, you know, if you want to join us for our event, Cary has been to this event, and Cary, maybe you want to give a little of your own testimony about it, but go to jasonhartman.com/LUTZ, LUTZ, Jason Hartman, jasonhartman.com/LUTZ for Cary Lutz. And you can get a $200 Black Friday discount. We just took that same promotion back that we did for Thanksgiving. If you want to join us for this event, it starts on Saturday. So we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Hey, and just as an aside, I went to last year's and I went to your Orlando property tour event, and I can't say enough good things about it. Met so many of you out there who are loyal, faithful members of the FSN community, and people who are making money, who are providing for your retirement and your future, so, and your children as well. Can't say enough good things about it. It's really worth attending. So I would be there myself. Got prior engagements. I have too much traveling to do in the next month. Just could not make it, but I will be there next year for sure, Jason.
All right, Cary. Well, I hope some of your listeners can make it. I know a few of them are already registered, but if anybody else wants to make it, jasonhartman.com/LUTZ. We got a nice promo for you there, $200 discount. And Cary, happy investing to you and your listeners.
All right, you too, and happy new year ahead, Jason.
Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.